got a pen and a paper, make sure that you are writing something. Make sure you're taking some notes. Today, I'm going to speak on the topic, speaking in the supernatural. Speaking in the supernatural. Say it after me. Speaking in the supernatural. I want to hear it louder. Speaking in the supernatural. This side is too cold. Shall I hear you say it? Speaking in the supernatural. Hallelujah. And can I hear this side saying it too? Amen. 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 Now, what I'm going to talk about, obviously, I'm going to take the Word of God as we know it from Genesis. And I want to ask us that our hearts and our minds will be open to new revelation from God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And as an introduction, I will say this, that God has created you and me, spirit, soul, and body. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, he said, I pray that both your soul, your spirit, your soul, and the body will be kept blameless by the time Jesus Christ appears. That means God is interested in you to be at the point that nobody, not even Satan, can accuse you of not using what God has given you. That is the letter Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. I pray, it is my prayer, that not even your soul, not your spirit, not your body will be kept blameless at the time of Jesus Christ. Yet most of us operate mainly in the soul and the body, which the Bible calls the flesh. Most of us operate in the soul and the body. That means we only work. We only do the things that we feel and we can taste and we can touch and we can smell and we can hear and we can see. If it is not that way, we cease to function. And some too, when we're talking about our soul, they are talking about their mind. If their mind cannot conceptualize it, it doesn't exist. If they can't figure it out logically, they don't want to know. If they cannot look at it empirically, it doesn't exist at all. But then God cannot be measured empirically. Neither can God only be smelled and then felt or touched and seen or heard or taste. But we have to also, as much as we want to operate in the flesh, that means our body and our soul, sometimes we listen to our emotions. We respond to our emotions so much, don't we? When we hear somebody dies, our emotions respond, isn't it? When something is not good, we hurt, don't we? You see, these parts, we've activated them. We've activated our souls. We've activated our body and we respond to the environment around us. But the spirit, we forget. But God has created a spirit, soul, and body. Because when you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible said, and God created out a man, generic, and breathed into him and her. And man became a living being. You understand that? He breathed his spirit into them. He breathed the ruach. That means the spirit of God was breathed into man. And man who was just body and man who was just soul became a spiritual being as well. So you and me must be sensitive to the spirit as well, isn't it? Are you with me? We should be sensitive to the spirit. So when we our preoccupation is to mind the things of the flesh, we quench the Spirit of God or the Spirit of God in us and we die. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 8:13 that anyone who set his or her mind on the flesh or anyone whom the Spirit of God is not dwelling in him, is not activated in him or her, that person dies. Are you checking it out, what I'm telling you? It says, if we mind the things of the flesh alone, we die. So that means if your preoccupation is only about your body, how good you look and you stand in the mirror for 1 hour, it's a problem. Hello? I have women in my house, so please forgive me. If you spend all the time as a man, all that you want to do is to boost up your body and your muscles and the testosterone, there's a problem. As much as you want to do those things, you have to make sure you mind the things of the Spirit. If you spend all your time exercising your mind and crunching all your figures and crunching all your strategies and everything, and you are not minding the things of the Spirit, there is a problem. Because you've been created man who is spirit, who is body, who is soul. Are you following so far? So, let's bring our reading from Genesis and let us see where we progress that from. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that a statement you are familiar with? Good. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light, or separated the light from the darkness. Now, let's pick this one up. It's a statement that you know all the time, and you all read it. And most of you have read it from primary school, ever since you were in your prom, even up to this point. You know it. But then let's look at what God is doing here when we're talking about speaking in the supernatural. We said that God spoke in creation. Do we agree that? Yes. After reading scripture, God spoke in creation. Do we agree that? Yes. Okay. So, only these people are hearing. God spoke in creation. Do you hear that? Yes. Thank you. Now we all hear that. So the earth was without form and void. The earth, the universe was without form and void. You see, if you only mind the things of the soul, that means you're only working with your mind and think, oh gosh, I mean, the world was 2 million years ago. So what is Pastor Gideon talking about? You see, you're only working with your mind. You're only figuring things in your soul. You are not letting your spirit take over. Because when you go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 2 and 3, the Bible says that the things that we now see in creation, in universe, did not exist until God made them. It did not exist until God spoke. But then if you're thinking with your mind, you're thinking, oh no, I don't believe that. You see, once you get to that point, there is a problem. You understand that? There's a problem. So here we go. The earth was without form. God had created the earth, but as yet, its potential had not been manifested. Something need to do. Something need to happen for it to come to light, for it to be revealed, for it to, make sense to us, for it to be visible, for it to be evidence. God created the universe. He created the earth. But as yet, it was void. At that time, it was darkness. At that time, it was formless, meaning it has no shape. Right? It was almost like atoms, no shape. It was formless. And if God had already created something, then God knew the purpose for which he was creating it. And God knew that it was good that he's creating something. So he was creating that, but it was formless. But let's see how the earth came into being according to scripture. Then, it didn't make sense that it was formless, it was void. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. So as the Spirit of God was hovering, that means it was creating a supernatural atmosphere in the void. Are you following? You see, God had already said it. God had already, made up his mind that the creation needed to happen, but it was formless. He has already created the heavens and the earth, but it was without form. It was void. But then the Spirit of God hovered. That means supernatural atmosphere created, and the Spirit of God brought something to it. As it hovers over it, it was creating something. So not only the word that was creating something, but the Spirit was also creating something. Are you with me? What God has already done, the Spirit needs to come and actually shape it into form. So the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the earth, creating a supernatural atmosphere. And the formless and the void and the darkness soon something happens. Bring number three for me, verse three. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse four, God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. So, when God spoke into the supernatural that was actually hovering over the void and said, let there be light, he did that to dispel the void. He dispelled the formless. He dispelled the darkness. He dispelled everything that was preventing the earth and the heavens from displaying its glory, from displaying its power, from displaying its majesty, from displaying the goodness, from displaying all the things that it could have and its potential. He had to move by the Spirit, and he had to speak by the Spirit, so that the formless will go away, so that the darkness will go away, so that the voidness will go away. And the Bible says, God spoke into the supernatural, let there be light. He dispelled that. And what we are trying to say here is that God opened his mouth with an audible sound in the atmosphere of the Spirit, and that changed the prevailing order of things. And God divided, separated the light from the day. That's what it said. And he separated the light from the day. So God spoke with an audible voice in the midst of the Spirit that was hovering. And when he spoke, he changed things. So God spoke in the midst of the Spirit that was hovering, and he changed things. The void moved away. The darkness moved away. The formless moved away. And there was light. Are you with me? So when we speak in the supernatural, what God has already determined, what God, we have been praying and asking God, God, do this for me. He's already done that. But there's still darkness. You can't see the beauty of it. You can't see the prayers being answered. You can't see the manifestation of it. But God had to move in the Spirit. The Spirit needed to hover over the situation. And there's got to be an audible voice somehow. Let there be light. And they will separate the formless. They will separate the voidness. They will separate the darkness. And light will come. And God will look at it. And God saw the light that was good. And he said, now, darkness, you don't belong to the light. Let the light stay there. And sometimes you and me, sometimes we pray so much, and somehow it's as if we are in the dark. It's as if darkness has come to settle upon the very thing that we are praying about. And somehow along the line, you have to create a supernatural atmosphere. You've got to let the Spirit of God move and move and move and move and hover over the situation, hover over the prayers, hover over the things that you are talking about, and make sure that there's an audible voice, an audible sound. And once you do that, it's separated. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You see, after this God created man, after his own image, for expansion. You see, God did not create man first. He had to actually move the voidness away. And he had to move the darkness away. He had to move the formless away. And he had to do that by his Spirit. He had to do that by his word. He had to do that by his sound. And after he's done that, man was created in his own image. So what image will God create you in? He will create you in the same spirit that he created you, isn't it? That's why he breathed his spirit in man, and man became a living expression of the living God. Of a spirit God. Said he breathed his Holy Spirit in him, and man became a living being. Somehow, man who did not have life in him or her sometimes became alive. Something that would not actually resurrect from the dead for you somehow came alive because the Spirit has been breathed into it. The Spirit had been breathed into it. So today I'm challenging you that we cannot only be flesh, meaning body and soul. That we die, that we go through so many pressures, we go through so emotional traumas, we go through disappointment. We go through so many blockades. And I know that this church, sometimes we have to go through such blockades. But then I thank God for a new revelation that God is moving. He's moving by his Spirit. And somehow I want God to breathe his Spirit into it. And you have become a living expression of God. And therefore you now have to breathe into it. Are you with me? You who is now spirit being, you have to breathe spirit into it. So when God created man in his own image, he said, be fruitful and multiply. So until you let the spirit move, until the words go, until the audible sound comes, until you change the situation in the supernatural, you cannot expand. God has created us for expansion. Can you say to yourself, God has created me for expansion? God has created me for expansion. That means you should be successful, right? You should prosper, right? You should have the things that your heart desires, right? You should live in peace, right? You should live in health, right? You have to actually do what God said. God said everything that he created was good. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. Expansion. Expansion. Spanish people say expansion, right? Exactly. So expansion, you got to expand. And God wants us not in size, right? Not in body, but you got to expand your territories. Amen. Amen. You see, the supernatural God spoke with one voice, tongue, with a spirit, let us, and everything change from there on. Some people struggle with the idea of speaking in the supernatural because they say it is bad. But this is a lie from the enemy. What are we reading? God saw that the light was good, and he separated it from the darkness. Are you with me? So God knows that when the supernatural comes in, when the spirit moves in, and when we speak in the spirit, it is a good thing for you, man, because God has filled you with his spirit. Don't listen to anybody who says it is bad. But I like it. I like the Bible because each time I look at it, I see new things. You see, that is wrong theology. And it's robbing many from changing things in the supernatural. Because a lot of things that goes on, you have to change it in the supernatural for it to be manifested in the natural. You are a spirit being. You have to change it in the supernatural for it to be manifested in the natural. Because sometimes when you hit a blockade and nothing seems to be moving, you have to get into the supernatural to change things. It could well be that Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that, look, there are, spirits of wickedness, hosts and armies working against people of God, working against the purposes of God. It's not always the case, but sometimes it's the case. And if it is, then somehow you have to break that that blockade, as it were. Because if the enemy has blockaded you, that means the enemy is stifling you to death. The only way you can get out is to break the blockade. That means you have to be violent. You have to actually come with some force. You see, so if sciences say that the earth was formed with a big bang, it was formed with a big force. It was formed with an overwhelming force. So what are we arguing about? We are talking about the same thing, isn't it? God did that with overwhelming force. And for that reason, we have to look at things the way God looks at it and has made us to be. So if the enemy said, if you speak in the supernatural, it's wrong, it is not a good idea, it's a bad idea, I don't know what I'm talking about. And God saw the light and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. But then the argument of skepticism is this: how can God give bad things to his children? To answer the skeptics, how can God give bad things to his children? When you read Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, he says that if you wicked people know how to give good things to your children, how can God, your heavenly Father, give those who ask for the Holy Spirit? Are you with me? So if you know how to give good things to your children, how can God talk about the supernatural, talks about tongues in the spirit, and he will give you a bad thing? God will not do that. You see, the enemy knows that, you see, you'll be empowered to shift the formless, to shift the darkness, to shift the voidness. He knows that you'll be empowered, and he doesn't want that. He wants to keep you in prison. He wants to keep you his disciple. And as you are breaking bounds, he knows that one power is gone out of him. He knows that one strong enemy, soldier has gone out of his camp, and he doesn't like that. So he would like to keep you in darkness. But God separated the light from the darkness. Are we following so far? You see, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father who is in heaven give you good things, the Holy Spirit, to those who ask him. If speaking in the supernatural is bad, why will God pour down his Holy Spirit upon his people when Jesus Christ resurrected to the heavens? If it is so bad, if it will kill them, if it will allow the devils to overcome them and to possess them, why would Jesus Christ pour it down? You see, I'm not rushing to finish this message because we have next week to continue and probably the week after. And not only are we hearing the word of God, but we want to activate it, put it into action, right? So here we are. So speaking with one tongue accomplishes the impossible. Now let's go back to the Bible again. Please turn to Genesis chapter 11 for me. Speaking with one tongue accomplishes the impossible. Did you hear that? Speaking with one tongue accomplishes the impossible. Now I'll do some reading for you. Is it coming up? Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastwards, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come. Listen to the words that they were using. Let us. Does that remind you of something? Did we not read that in Genesis chapter 1? Let us. Come. Let us. They were created in the image of God. So the things that God is doing is what they are doing. Come. Let us make bricks. God made some creation, and they also saying, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves, or for ourselves, in my translation, a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole world. Move on, because I want to make an argument. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. One more verse. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Thank you. Now, let us look at this in the next 10 minutes or so. The whole earth, from New King James Version, had one language and one speech. You see, when we talk about the word speech, it's as if you have a prepared statement, right? They have one speech. So it's as if everybody is saying the same thing, right? They had one speech. They had one language and one speech. I don't know whether it was Spanish, was English, was French, was Portuguese, was Yoruba, was Twi, was whatever it is, was Patois. I have no idea. But they had one language, but they had one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain and dwelt there. And they said, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they did that. Come, let us build for ourselves a city. And they did that. So here we are saying, with one tongue, one language, one speech, they could build and make a name for themselves. They could build a fortification that they would not be scattered. You see, because they were one, speaking one tongue, speaking one language, having one speech, they were able to build a fortification that nobody could conquer them. The only person who could conquer them was God. I'm making an argument. They were able to build a tower whose top reaches into the heavens. They reached for the heavens for the supernatural enablement of the one tongue that they had. and the one language that they had. The people wanted to reach to the deeper things of God. Now, let me explain this, what I'm trying to tell you. That you see, what they were doing was that God said, be fruitful, expansion. But they said, we want to build high. But then at this time that they were thinking of, they want to build high, they want to build a tower whose top reaches to the heavens. They want to get into the supernatural of God with their carnality, that means with their unregeneration, with all their sins and everything that they have. And if God had allowed them to reach to the supernatural, then they'll reach out for something that will otherwise harm them, that will be dangerous, that will be misused, and that will be abused. You see, people who try to reach out and build tower to the heavens, literally, they reach out for some things, and they reach out for some other supernaturals, which, I mean, harms them or harm the people that they come in contact with, because they are not regenerated, because the Spirit of God is not in them, because they are doing it for themselves. Let me give you one example. A couple of weeks ago, I decided to go and have a haircut somewhere in Dagenham, Meriden. And as I was walking, there was this guy who came straight in front of me and was laughing. And I'm thinking, I think I sent something. And he came to me and said, hey, you are so blessed. Thank your mother who born you. And I'm thinking, okay, I hear that. My mother born me, all right? And, and he kept on saying, you are blessed. And he was following me everywhere I was going. You are blessed. Do you know you are blessed? I said, listen to me. I know I'm blessed. You don't have to tell me. And he kept saying this. And I said, I see things about you. I said, well, you might be seeing things, and I know you. I know who you are. And he said, are you interested in palm reading at all? I said, I'm not interested in that. So he went away. And I knew that this guy has some supernatural powers, but he didn't get it from God. He built a tower, just like we are looking at, to reach to the sky. And if God had not confused their language, they would come with something that harms people. And these people, sometimes they reach out to things and they'll bring it, and people go and read their palms. They go and read, they do Ouija boards, and they do all sort of voodooism and occultism and all those things. What does it do? It eventually harms people. Some people go mad as a result of that. People go insane as a result of that. And I took about an hour, and as I was coming out, it didn't take an hour to cut my hair, right? But when they gave me the chance, it took an hour. And as I came out and I got to the car park, just somewhere near where I was, I saw the guy coming. He said, blessed man. And he started laughing. Blessed man. And I looked at him, I said, I cast out the spirit in you in Jesus' name. And he started screaming. I said, no, 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 I'm not with you. I'm not with you. I don't want to harm you. I said, you can't even harm me. And he went. Right. Why am I saying this? You see, if people have one tongue, speaking in one tongue, they can accomplish the impossible. And that's what the Bible is saying here. They were able to build a tower that reached into the heavens. They reached for the heavens, for the supernatural enablement of one tongue and one language. So the one tongue and the one language that they had, their agenda, they want the supernatural of God to enable it. And imagine wicked people with the supernatural of God enabling it, how wicked they could be. How powerful they could be. They could accomplish everything, and nobody could stop them. The people had one language and one speech, even in the natural, and now nothing they propose to do shall be impossible. According to verse 6 of Genesis chapter 11, nothing they propose to do will be impossible. Nothing they propose will be impossible. And at that time, I just want to bring to your attention that God said, let's go and confuse their language. Let's go down and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's language, one another's speech. Now, I'm just playing on words here. They had one speech, one script that they were speaking from. So somehow, if you are trying to understand what I'm trying to say, that they had one script that they were all reading. And out of that one script, everybody can understand what they are saying. Hello? I'm sure you'll be thinking, where is he going with this? He had one script that they were looking at, one speech. How many speeches did they say they have? One speech. They had one language, assuming it's Spanish that they were speaking. They were speaking Spanish, assuming. But then they had one script that they were all reading from. So if I say, get me a hammer, they say the same thing. One tongue. Get me water. They say the same thing. One tongue. Hey, get me brick. They say the same thing. One speech. And they want the supernatural enablement. And God said, you cannot get that one speech with a supernatural enablement when the Spirit of God does not dwell in you. Because you are a fallen man. Because you are a sinful man. Because you are somebody who is doing what God does not want. You're somebody who have allowed Satan to dominate you. And therefore, God is not going to give you that chance to have that power, to be able to do the impossible, to be able to do things that you cannot be stopped. So God had to intervene and scattered their language. But you think that was the end of it. The good news is that God created us for expansion, not to stay in one place and die, but to multiply growth. So let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. As I said, I'm not finishing this, I'm just developing something so that we can finish maybe next week or the week after. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Note these words carefully. Suddenly a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Remember the one speech? Came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. So in Genesis 11, there was a separation. There was a confusion. And the one tongue this time changed. And therefore, they couldn't reach to the heavenlies anymore. Even though in creation, God came from the heavens and actually moved by the Spirit, and he spoke and changed things, this time, the language has been confused. Now, the language had to come back. The one tongue, one speech, one language need to come back. And it came back when Jesus Christ was resurrected into the heavens. And when he went to the heavens, he knows that he need to put us back where we are supposed to be. That anything that we set our mind to do, we can do the impossible things. He says nothing can stop them if we allow them. And this time God said, now I am allowing you to have that one tongue again and the one speech again. And said, and they seem, go back to verse 1 and 2 for me, please. I mean, and it says this, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. One sound and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest upon them. You see, this time the one tongue came and had to separate and rest upon them. Just like God came and confused their tongue and they were separated. Now the tongue had to come and then they were separated and rest upon each one of them. Let me read from New King James Version. My help you. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of the rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, or separated tongues, as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ and ascended Christ released something from the heavens on the day of Pentecost. The believers were together with one accord, one mind, and in agreement in one place, and something supernatural happened. Something they were not used to happened. They were not used to that. They had their separate languages. They were not used to. And one sound came from the heavens. And everyone got something that sat or rested on them. Tongues of fire. So this time, the one tongue comes back, but this time with fire by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? You see, I mean, theologians don't want you to know this. Because when it comes upon you, it releases you and divides upon you and it sits upon you and creates spiritual energy and creates fire in you and it changes things. You see, people who don't want to go anywhere don't like speaking in tongues. I'm challenging you now. People who are comfortable where they are, They read the Bible and it's like, oh, it happened then, but we serve the same God that they served, but it doesn't happen to us. Even my common simple mind tells me this is wrong. That they serve the same God who parted the sea, but then when it comes to a problem, we don't believe that God can part the sea for us. They serve the same God who caused food to come from the heavens. We think, oh, this time we can go to Sainsbury's. But if you don't have money, you can't, can you? See, the same God who did that this time, he cannot do it. So what has changed with God? So God had to change us from the natural to the supernatural, from the physical to the spiritual, so that we can begin not only to reason with our minds, but we can reason with our spirit. And that will come with tongues of fire to energize you. Are you there? You see, I came from a very conservative background, you know. An Anglican. I'm a Baptist. And I'm telling you that God is not an Anglican. God is not a Baptist. God is not a Catholic. God is not a Pentecostal. God is not a charismatic. God is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And God said that I am sending these things to you. You see, when you begin to get to this one, and every one of you, it rested upon them. So somehow, there should be a defining moment that Jesus Christ is risen to the sky, is risen to the heavens. He sent down the one tongue that will enable you to do things. Because in Genesis chapter 1, God spoke, and things that was not there came to being. And these people were doing things that nobody could stop them. By their strength, by their wonder spirit with it. And God said, no. Until you come to that point of Jesus Christ coming and accepting him as your Lord and Savior, leader, and forgiver, then you're not going to have that tongues of fire upon you. I'm not going to energize you in the supernatural. So if you want to walk in the supernatural, you've got to be open to Jesus and ask him, Lord, you know what? I'm walking in darkness. You may have light. I am walking in formlessness and voidness. Sometimes emptiness. You see, I'm a grown man, and I've been in this world a few decades. And I can assure you, I don't know how many years I'm going to live anymore. I mean, longer, I don't know, but I'm going to live for a while. But whatever it is, I have come to understand that life sometimes can be extremely difficult. Sometimes things are going all hunky-dory for you, then suddenly, right? Something come and you don't even expect it. The only thing that keeps you surviving is God. The other time I was talking to my family, I'm saying, you know, I was telling them that by the time I was 21, I did not have a father, he died. By the time I was 23, I did not have a mother, she died. So, I mean, at that time I was an orphan, right? I had nobody to be my leader. I had nobody to direct me in life. The only person who directed in my life for me to be successful is God. It's the word of God that I hang on to. So if I'm looking for a dad, I just go to my heavenly father. If I'm looking for a mother, I go back to the Bible and I look at what God says about it. And that guided my life. And in every situation, I'm relatively successful. And I can sit back today. And I said, if you are here as a child and said, okay, I'm from a single home. I don't have a father. I don't have a mother. And therefore, I'm going to be a failure. You are not. You are going to be a success if you want to. Amen. The way out is God. God was my father for several decades. God has been my mother for several decades. There are times that you just want the mother's care, don't you? You want to hang around. Sometimes we take advantage of our mothers because they're always compassionate. And I want something like that, and there was nothing like that there. Sometimes you want the father's direction and firm voice to say, you do it that way. Well, not quite, right? But maybe turn this way. And it's not there. Who will lead you is God. And what kept me going is to allow myself for God to be full in me. For his spirit to be full in me. And as his spirit is full in me, and God rested, restored the one tongue, but this time with fire. God brought supernatural energy into the language that they were speaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The confused language of Babel is now manifested in unknown tongues. as the Spirit gave them utterance. God wanted believers from all parts of the world to hear and to hear him clearly. So at that time, the tongues opened the ears of the crowd that were there. And the spirit atmosphere was opened. And people could hear them in their own language. They were understanding the things that they were talking about. They were praising God. Because at that time, they didn't understand. But remember, a sound came. So literally, they were speaking just as it were one speech from one script. They were speaking one speech, but it's supernatural language. This time mixed with fire. And as they spoke, God opened the eyes and the ears of the people. And if you're Spanish, you could hear. If you're Caribbean, you could hear. If you're Nigerian, you could hear. If you're from wherever, if you're Hausa, you could hear. If you're French, you could hear. Because God opened their ears with one tongue. This time, tongues of fire. And I just want you to understand that as I'm bringing this message to an end, there will be a continuation next week and the week after, because I have a lot to develop this theology and this message for you to get it. And don't miss it if you're here next week. Don't miss it if you're not on holiday. Don't miss it. I tell you what, we are coming to a point. And as we come to that point, you come to understand that Jesus Christ empowers his children to speak with one tongue, and that one tongue makes them powerful, one tongue makes them unstoppable, one tongue makes them open the darkness and bring light into the situation. It makes sure that they expand and bring back what God had already ordered, and which the enemy has actually tried to disorder it. He tried to bring it back. Are you following so far? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I wanted to stand and I want us to pray. I just want to stop here because I have a lot to say to develop this argument. And please don't miss next week, because next week we'll continue this message to get us into some point. And what we are trying to say today, that remember that God created the universe. It was formless. He created it with awesome power. Because it was formless. Some atoms need to break out somehow. Some spirit need to break out somehow. And get that situation opened up. So that whatever was not going right this time become right. And God spoke. Let us. God spoke over the supernatural atmosphere. And today, I'm trying to create that atmosphere for you. And let us believe God. For him to come and help us. Hallelujah.